Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
All right, guys, Trae Young, who has previously called LeBron the GOAT, and keep in mind, wasn't even born when Michael Jordan hit that game-winning shot in the 1998 NBA Finals, tweeted this out yesterday. He said, "I feel like this documentary gonna make me put MJ number one instead of number two." So, Shannon, how much will young people who did not really get a chance to watch Michael Jordan play live be swayed by what they saw last night and what they will see from this documentary?
I think some young people will be swayed. And that's what happens when we see documentaries, Skip. And for me, I happen to be in a situation where I'm old enough to remember Michael Jordan taking that shot at Carolina in 1982. And I remember him hitting that game-winning shot. And I remember him going to the Wizards in the early 2000s. But, Skip, if you didn't know about a player, it's going to sway you. If you didn't know just how good Michael Jordan was, it's probably going to sway you. Skip, you know, while being quarantined, I've had an opportunity, and I've watched a lot of documentaries. And some of these documentaries, I knew about Sam Cooke, and I knew about Miles Davis, and I knew about some of these other guys. But some of the guys, like a Lee Morgan, I had never heard of. And then you see the documentary, you're like, well, damn, didn't no one ever talk about him? So you learn things if you didn't already know. About Sam Cooke, I knew Sam Cooke can sing. But, Skip, I didn't know how involved he was in the civil rights, and I didn't know kind of what made him tick and how he felt about certain things, about how he couldn't perform. And he was proud, and he would stand up in the face of, you know, white authority. So for me, Skip, it doesn't change me for the simple fact that I know what Michael Jordan was, but I get an opportunity to see behind the scenes. But I think also, Skip, is that guys generally gravitate towards guys in the era that they played against. And I think that's, for me, I think Aaron Donald, I think J.J. Watt and Khalil Mack and Von Miller, I think they're tremendous. But there's no way in hell I can put them in front of LT or Reggie White or Bruce. I think some of these DBs currently playing, but they don't go in front of time. They don't go in front of Watt. That's just me because I played against those guys. Now, I'm watching these guys play, Skip, and they're hell of a players. Not to take anything away from them. But I think for the young guys, like a guy like Trae, Skip, he don't remember one shot that Mike took. Not one. So he's getting an opportunity to see. Skip, there have been a lot of guys that can glide through the air. Elgin Baylor could dunk the ball, David Thompson, Dr. J. There's a lot of guys that had trick shots off the glass, Pete Maravich, and a lot of different guys. But nobody possessed the acrobatics, the creativity, like a Michael Jordan, and the ability to score the basketball. That's what made him so unique, Skip. He could score like Wilt. He had the acrobatics and the elevation of a Dr. J, but the creativity of a Pistol Pete Maravich. We had never seen a guy that had all that in one package. And then you get the aura that's around him, the Beatles or the Jacksons at their height. We've never seen anything like it before, Skip, and I think that's what some people, and plus, Skip, what has he got? The logo. The Jumpman. Now you got NFL players wearing Jumpman cleats. We've never seen a guy that had that kind of crossover. We've never seen that. And to hear David Falk tell the story that Michael wanted to sign with Adidas, but they didn't want to give him about what you gonna call the line. Skip, they didn't even want to call the line Jordan. They're like, we'll give him a clothing line, but we're going to call it something else. What? You better call it Jordan, Air Jordan, whatever it was. And because he played, you know, he looked like he was elevating. He's like, gravity didn't define him. He was defined gravity. So for me, Skip, I think that's what's going to be. It's everything that's around him. And he was a damn great, great, great 15-time generational great player. But it's all the things that went around Jordan. And everything that we see, Skip, because the table that they're eating from right now, Michael Jordan said it.
You got it, which is why soon after this doc ended last night, I tweeted, "Say goodnight, LeBron," and I meant it, as in say goodnight to the GOAT debate, because Trae Young called this even before he watched the doc. Yeah, today he's going to be swept up in what he saw, the emotions that got pulled from people last night as they saw what Michael actually went through with that little scoundrel, Jerry Krause. And it made you feel for Michael and even elevate him to a higher pedestal that he was having to deal with that and that owner, Jerry Reinsdorf. And I do think this is going to have supreme impact on younger people who, like Trey, were not even born before 1998. And I do think that it is also supreme timing, because Jordan has always been right place, right time. And obviously, they moved up the release date of this doc because we're all stuck at home for the right reason. Mm-hmm. But everybody yep. was on fire last night to watch this, almost like it was the equivalent of a live playoff event. NFL, NBA, whatever you want it to be, it felt like a new live thing we could all react to when we're all so starved, so ravenous for anything live in the world and realm of sports. So I do think the mm-hmm. kids are going to get caught up in this, and they're going to say, wow, because Steve Kerr said, if you saw the footage from 98, he was asking France, what's unique about this team? And he says, well, we're unique because of Michael. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
And you got to see Larry Bird in an updated interview. Larry Bird said, yeah, after he scored 63 on us in game two of the playoffs, they won it in overtime, the Celtics of Bird did, Parrish and McHale.
Double.
And yet Bird said, that was God disguised as Michael Jordan. Wow, that's impactful. You could actually see mm-hmm. the acrobatic athleticism, the mid-range jumpers on display, and you could see them in sequence and in context to the point that I do believe kids will sit back and say, man, LeBron, I don't know. We're always prisoners of a moment, and I think this is prisoners of a time now that we all got to see from inside out the way I lived it as the columnist for the Chicago Tribune in 98. And now the world got to see it. And I think it's going to make it harder on LeBron to make his GOAT case. I'm very intrigued to see how LeBron responds now if he comes forward with his own IG Live about all my moments. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, he might.
We got a documentary brewing. Me and Matt, we're going to sit down. We're going to discuss that later today. We got something brewing. Not right now. I think we got a couple more championships we're going to win. And we got a lot of footage that we can that we're going to roll out. It probably won't be a 10-part series. It's probably going to be like 5 or 6, but who knows? We got to put some brainstorm, get all these heads in the room, and something's going to come together. Skip, but look. In that era, that's Magic and that's Kareem, that's Larry, that's a lot of great guys. And Skip, I believe they're going to kind of tend to lean towards those guys. It's kind of like if you talk about magicians. Now, people that grew up watching Harry Houdini going to say Harry Houdini is the greatest magician ever. But these new age, Skip, will probably say it's Copperfield or David Blaine. Look, I didn't see Harry Houdini. But some of the things that I heard he was able to do, as I still defies what someone should be able to do, especially if you're in a straitjacket, handcuffed, and all that other things. But Skip, underwater. Michael with the shoe. Underwater, exactly. Skip, Michael with the shoe. Michael with the endorsements. Everything you see what these players are doing currently, Michael built that foundation. So what they're standing on is because of the platform that guy. So Skip, even if you don't believe it, Skip, that man fed me. He's the reason I'm getting $200 million. He's the reason I got a shoe contract. He's the reason I can be in movies and start these other platforms. He gave everybody the blueprint, and everybody is beholden to that. And so, Skip, I believe he's going to sway probably 30-40% of this younger generation. They're like, yeah, we got to go.
in the first two episodes of Michael Jordan's The Last Dance documentary was just how underpaid Scottie Pippen really was heading into that 1997-98 season. Even though Pippen led the Bulls in several stat categories, and Michael Jordan said himself that you can't mention my name without mentioning Scottie Pippen. So, Shannon, I want to ask you, in your opinion, how valuable was Pippen to Michael Jordan?
He was immensely valuable because, Skip, you have to remember that Jordan got swept in 87 by the Celtics, which was Scottie's rookie year. He got swept in 86, which was Jordan's second year, and he lost 3-1 to the Bucks in his first year in the playoffs. What Scottie Pippen allowed Michael Jordan to do, Skip, was focus on what he was great at, arguably the greatest to ever do it, which is score the basketball. Because Pip could assist the ball, and he could also, because he was so long, because he did it so effortlessly, he could take their best scoring option, be it a point guard, two guard, three, or four. Scottie Pippen was probably a better defender than Michael Jordan, Skip, for the simple fact he could guard more positions. He was taller. That wingspan was a problem for a lot of people. So he allowed Michael Jordan to be Michael Jordan. Michael didn't have to worry about facilitating the offense because Scottie Pippen was what we call the first point forward, Skip. He was unbelievable at that. He was very good. Well, I wouldn't say he's the first. Larry Bird was really the first point forward, Skip. He did it before Scottie Pippen, but Scottie gets a lot of credit for him. I think he was very, very important to Michael. Michael said there can be no Michael Jordan without mentioning Scottie Pippen. Skip, he was not the elite scorer, but he did all the other things so extremely well, which allowed Michael to focus on scoring the basketball. And Michael could D-up. So I don't want people to think that Michael Jordan was a slouch on the defensive end because he was anything but that. 9 times first-team all-defense, defensive player of the year, I think 88-89 season. So that lets you know. But Skip, Pip was as good a wing defender as that we'll ever have or will ever have. And he allowed Michael Jordan to escape, to be free, to just worry about scoring the basketball and not have so much on his plate. So I don't believe we could have had this story, The Last Dance, without Scottie Pippen, because I don't believe 91 through 93 and 96 through 98 happened if Scottie Pippen is not on that team.
I'm just glad you corrected yourself. Trust me on this. Scottie Pippen was not a better defender than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Michael Jordan was the defensive player of the year and 9 times, as you point out, first team, all defense. He was extraordinary. He was a game changer on defense. He was a disruptor. We saw him steal the ball from Karl Malone in that fateful game 6 of his final run in the Last Dance finals against Utah at Utah. And yet, I want to make the point that Michael never campaigned, go get Scottie, go acquire Scottie. He just didn't care. It's not like LeBron campaigning, I need Anthony Davis, or LeBron joining forces with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, or LeBron saying, Dwayne's knees are shot, I got to go back. I got to join forces with Kyrie and Kevin Love back in Cleveland for my second time around. It wasn't like that. They did draft Scottie Pippen, and I was hard on Jerry Krause yesterday. I give him credit. He did draft him. I give him that. And yet, Michael wasn't clamoring for help. He just sort of came up with Scottie, and they grew up together in a way. Michael was a little bit older, but again, Michael was a baby in those times you bring up early on. And once he grew way up, and he had to put some pounds on and some muscle on to be able to defeat the Pistons, thanks to Tim Grover, his trainer. And yet, once he grew up, he grew completely up. And when, in the end, you could see, Shannon, I was there in 98. Scottie was a very good player, but he wasn't an all-time great player. And yes, Michael said all the right things the other night in the documentary about how much Scottie meant to him, because he did mean a lot to him. He was his Robin, and he was an excellent Robin. But Scottie had no Batman in him whatsoever. Case in point, remember the 1 year, the one complete year that Michael was gone back in 93-94, Scottie had a very good year. He averaged 22-9-6 and made the All-Star team. And because there was no Jordan, he got a number of votes for MVP. He finished 3rd that year in MVP. But once they got to the second round of the playoffs, you'll remember against the Knicks, a series they lost in 7 games. In game 3, in Chicago. You remember what happened at the end of the game? Scottie committed a blunder where he was waving Kukoc over to set a screen, and he let the shot clock get too deep, and he shot it too late, and the buzzer went off, and they had a clock violation. And then once Ewing scored to tie the score, Phil called timeout, Phil Jackson, and called the last play for Tony Kukoc, because Kukoc was the closer for that team. He had made 4 buzzer beaters that year to win games with jump shots. Scottie wasn't the Jordan replacement. Actually, Kukoc was. And so when Phil called the last play, it was Scottie inbounding to Kukoc. Scottie just waved out. He just couldn't take it anymore and went and sat on the bench and wouldn't even go in the game. So Phil said, okay, and he sent Pete Myers in to throw the ball in bounds to Kukoc, who then made the shot to win the game. And then to cap this off, look what happened after the last dance. Scottie was only 33 years of age, and he went to Houston and joined Hakeem and Charles Barkley. And they were pretty good, but they lost in 4 games to the Lakers in a best of 5 in the first round. And Scottie was the third wheel on that team in points scored behind Hakeem and behind Charles Barkley. And then Scottie goes to Portland for 4 more years, and he averages 11-5-5. And in that first go-around at Portland, remember, they played the Lakers and played them great all the way to Game 7, and they were up 71-58 going to the fourth quarter of Game 7. And what happened? Scottie didn't happen. They wanted him to be Jordan, and in the fourth quarter, he played almost the whole fourth quarter and scored no points and went 0-for-3, and they blew the whole lead and blew the game. To the Shaq Lakers at that point. To me, he got exposed.
For me, Skip, Scottie was never Michael. He never had that capacity, Skip. But I think it took Scottie growing up too, because remember, Skip, he had to toughen up also, because the knock on him was you punish him, you knock him down. You look at some of those Bad Boy Pistons documentaries and see how they treated Scottie Pippen. They treated him just like they treated Jordan. You come into the lane, we going upside your head. And he had to toughen up. He had to grow up also, Skip. And you keep saying Michael didn't campaign because he had competent people in the front office that they drafted Scottie Pippen. They drafted, guess what they did? They traded one of Jordan's best friends, Charles Oakley, and got a Bill Cartwright because they needed size in order to compete with the Knicks, in order to compete with the Bad Boy Pistons. So LeBron wouldn't have to ask if he had people in the front office that would do their job. See, the problem that I have with you, Skip Bayless, you said because Jordan didn't ask. Well, LeBron wouldn't ask either if he'd have first-rate people that go to the Hall of Fame. If he had a Pat Riley, if he had a Jerry West, if he had competent people in the front office doing the job, he wouldn't need to ask. But since they won't do his job, I got to lead the team in points, rebound, and assists, and I got to do the front office job by asking you, man, go get me some help.
If Michael Jordan in 1998 had had Kuzma and B.I. and Lonzo and JaVale and Rondo, he would have said, I'm good. Watch what we can do with this. He was a greater leader and had greater aura and mystique and the ability to lift a whole franchise than LeBron does. LeBron was like, I can't win with this. Bad body language, everybody quitting. He wanted to trade the whole team. He needed another superstar, and Michael did not need another superstar.
So what was Dennis Rodman? Dennis Rodman was 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. He led the league in rebounding every year he was with the Bulls. His first year with the Bulls, he, Scottie, and Mike were first team all defense. So Dennis Rodman led the league in rebounding for 7 straight years, but he's a bum. Let Skip Bayless tell you, Scottie Pippen just made the All Star team, and when, as a matter of fact, after they won the finals, they won 53 games in '93. The next year, Jordan leaves '94. He missed the whole season. They win 55. Scottie Pippen is All Star game MVP. He finished third. So Skip, this notion that he was a bum is not true. Was he on Jordan level? No, absolutely not. But I do not believe the first three-peat or the second three-peat happens without Scottie Pippen, without Scottie Pippen being Scottie Pippen. And sometimes, Skip, Deion Branch, look at him, Skip. He was never the same player once he left Tom Brady in that system. He got $11, $12 million to go to Seattle. and had to come back. So that doesn't take away from who he is. Yeah, maybe he's not an all-time great receiver. But in that system, with Michael Jordan, he was a historically great. Celtics would have been skipped had Casey Jones and Sam Jones or Tommy Heisen in their prime played elsewhere. But because they played with Russell and they played with Cousy and they had Havlicek. So it happens like that sometimes, Skip. But I believe Michael Jordan, in order to be who he was, Scottie Pippen helped allow him to be that.
Shannon, Michael Jordan won with Luke Longley and Bill Winnington at center. Enough said. Case closed. No mercy.
Draymond Green sounded off on how Kevin Durant handled his last season in Golden State. Draymond said that KD should have let the team know that it would be his last season instead of leaving the elephant in the room. So, Shannon, do you agree with Draymond here?
Hell no. Teams don't tell players, hey, this is your last season. We're going to trade you at the trading deadline. Or this is your last season here. I get it that Draymond said he wanted to be there. Klay Thompson said he wanted to be there. KD never said that. By all indications, by him signing only one-year deals, that gave you an indication that there was a great chance that KD was not going to spend his entire career in Golden State. Skip, everybody, there's a reason. Now, my thing is, okay, I get it. I'm going to sign a two-year deal. Basically, it's one plus one. And if things go according to plan, see how I like it. Okay, Skip, he goes. They win the title. He's Finals MVP. He re-signs again. 1 year. He's Finals MVP. Hold on, Skip. It's not going to get much better than that. You can't do any better than winning Finals and winning Finals MVP. It doesn't get any better than that. When KD got there, it wasn't what he had hoped. Because remember, Skip, he's like, oh, this is what I get? This is it? So he never really feels like he got the praise, the adulation that he thought would come along with a title. Skip, it's not KD's responsibility to tell anybody. They kept asking. Yes, I'm sure it caused a lot of anxious nights. Bob Myers, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, and the rest of them. Because they know that was the one guy. All things can be going to hell in a handbasket. KD, get us a bucket. And he could go do that. So he was the guy that made them unbeatable, Skip. They became beatable. Without KD, they were very beatable. And they knew that. That's why they interrupted that man's vacation on the Hamptons. Got on a big old jet. Flew out there, interrupted that man. He was out there with his good people, having a good old time. And here they come, ring, ding dong. Man, sleepers. Man, who is this time of the morning? It's them on his doorstep. Draymond hadn't stopped crying since the finals. Eyes bloodshot red. Man, I'm sorry, man, but we need you. So, no, I ain't telling you nothing. What I've decided to do, I'm going to decide at the end of the year. What you did do is speed up the process. I don't know when Draymond going to take responsibility for speeding up the process by calling that man out his name. That's what he did. But KD didn't owe, Skip, KD does not owe it to a team or his teammates to tell what his future plans are. When did that become in vogue? When must I tell you what I'm going to do? Because guess what? Organizations and corporations don't tell you what their future plans are. They just make plans. Oh, you traded. Huh? So KD says, you know what I'm going to do? At the end of the season, I'm going to sit down with my team, I'm going to sit down with my family, and I'm going to make a decision that's best interest of Kevin Durant. And that's what he did. He made a decision that was in the best interest of KD. Draymond, you got two titles that you probably wouldn't have got if you didn't have KD. Enjoy that. Keep it moving.
And I agree with everything you just said, Shannon. On top of that, Draymond Green has not stopped crying since the day Kevin left, since the day Kevin did sign with the Brooklyn Nets. And right now, it feels like he's just crying over spilled milk, milk that, to your point, he helped spill. And right now, it's hard to respect Draymond's points because he's crying from a position of weakness because this year, what's left of his Golden State Warriors have a record of 15-50. That is the worst record in the NBA as we speak. We have no idea if this season is going to get to end, but those in Dub Nation right now hope that there's no more basketball because they would like to go on to the next season with no more end to this one. Because Draymond Green right. basically got exposed this year for a bad basketball team. He averaged 8 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Not bad on the 6 assists, but 8, 6, and 6, not great, Draymond. So it feels like to me Draymond got swept up in watching the terrific documentary that dropped on Sunday night, episodes 1 and 2, and he began to fantasize that his Warriors somehow deserved a documentary-worthy final season of A Last Dance before Kevin Durant left. And now to your biggest and best point, Shannon Sharp, that last season actually ended before it even really got off to a start because early in the year, as you know, sitting on the bench against the Clippers, that's when KD and Draymond got into it. They'd gotten into it on who was going to bring the ball up the court. And as you point out, Draymond called Kevin Durant that B word that you just can't call another man without burning that bridge completely to the ground. And we both agreed at that day, that next day, man, that relationship is basically over. That there can be no more real love, no more teammate-to-teammate love between those two. And I get a little offended when current players compare what they're going through to what Jordan and those Bulls in 98, and of course, I was there covering for the Chicago Tribune, what they went through because, remember, Shannon, that team was united. It was completely together, completely one for all and all for one, against the two Jerrys. It was Michael and Phil and Scotty and the Bulls versus Jerry Krause and the owner Jerry Reinsdorf. So again, we're talking about a Golden State team that was actually split from internally, where you had Draymond getting mad at Kevin and calling him a word that you can't take back. You can't walk that back or make that up or apologize your way out of that one. And so they were damaged from the inside out, and it was their own doing. They blew themselves up. It was internally. So my point is that, yeah, you're right. Kevin never would commit publicly to what he was going to do. And the truth is, I don't think he knew. I buy the fact that from week to week, as he'd get asked by the media as he went from city to city, he'd be like, the truth is, I don't know. I'm not sure. We got to see how all this plays out. And Shannon, my final point is, did Kevin quit on the Golden State Warriors that year? No.
No.
Kevin Durant fought his way back from a pulled calf. Kevin Durant risked his career for Draymond and the other teammates to come back a little prematurely in the playoffs so that he could try to help pull them out of a hole, and he tore his Achilles tendon, and it cost him this whole season. Well, you can't fault that. You can't condemn him for fighting all the way back and risking a whole year for Draymond and company, right? So again,
right.
I find no fault in what Kevin did. It was just Kevin being Kevin, and I find it feels like Draymond is trying to remind everybody of the good old days and how great they could have been when, in fact, Golden State, as we speak, is 15 and 50.
You know, Skip, if you listen to Draymond talk, Draymond said, you know, when the reporters would ask him, yeah, I want to be here. You know, I was here. I'm a foundation piece. I was here where it started. I want to continue this thing. They asked Clay, yes, I want to be here. You know, I was here when we were down. We built this thing. I'm a foundation piece. Kevin Durant wasn't a foundation piece. Kevin Durant was the slate roof. He made the house look better. That's what he was. And Kevin's like, I'm more than slate. Y'all don't realize what y'all have here. And Kevin, and you know, Draymond's like, well, he just gave the media his butt to kiss. Kevin Durant, look, I don't know. I don't really know KD, watching from a distance. But when I listen to KD talk, KD is about hooping. KD, y'all can keep the press conferences. Y'all can keep all that other stuff. All I want to do is just let me hoop. If Kevin Durant could literally just go play basketball and not have to do postgame, not have to do pregame, that's what he would do. That's what he don't want to do anything else. But he understands that a part of that is selling that KD shoe is a part of being, you know, showing people your personality and showing a side that they can't get an opportunity to witness on the court. But Skip, Draymond, you got to let this go, bro. Look, your girl left you. Now, she done got her a new man. Now, you can talk about she could have told me she was going to leave me and go hook up with Joe. That didn't happen. That'd have been all fine and good had she told you she was going to leave your butt. But you should have known. You kept asking her, did she love you? And she's like, boy, you're so crazy. You're crazy. Yeah, you know, we together now. And that's what Katie kept saying, Skip. He never said he loved him. He said, we together now. We'll see. Well, after 3 years, he was done. It's okay. Draymond, you got 2 rings in 3 years with KD. Had KD not gotten injured, you probably would have had a third. But, bro, you can't be upset that the man left. Like you said, you, Steph, and Klay, y'all are the foundation piece. KD came in and joined that, and it was great. But he wanted to do something else. That's okay, too. You can't hold that man you can't be mad at him because just like, but Skip, I told you, my grandma used to say, boy, kids, drunks, and angry people would generally tell you the truth. When Draymond got mad and he yet called KD that, he thought KD was that all alone because he joined a 73-win team. He always thought that of KD. He suppressed it. But boy, Skip, when you get mad, you will say a lot of things that you wouldn't say if you was, you're like, nah, I'm going to keep the peace. But the moment you get mad, you so-and-so, you know what? And ta-da, KD like, did he just say that? Did that man just call me the B word? Oh, my goodness. So this is what you think of KD. I'm one of the 2 or 3 best players in all of basketball, and you think I'm a B. Okay. I'm going to finish out this season, but it's never going to be the same. And I'm a dip. Skip, I said, oh, you don't know. People say fake. No, they don't. Oh, I've been in a lot of arguments with a lot of teammates. You know what line not to cross. You're lucky. Probably if you're in a football locker room, Skip, you gotta knuckle up. Hey, you're gonna have to wallet. Gotcha. Simple as that. Now, understand basketball, they probably got a little different culture. I've never been in a basketball locker room, but call a guy that and see what happens. Call a guy on the street that you gonna have to fight him. KD showed great restraint and not going at Draymond. But man, look here, it was over from that point. Being an athlete, being a prideful man, KD wasn't coming back from that.
Yep, they would have called the Golden State documentary of the last year the last B word, because that's what it was. That was the last word. It was the B word, and it was basically over right there. And yet, looking back, it seems to me like Draymond should actually be thankful to Kevin because he did leave Russell Westbrook for them after Russell and Kevin had them down 3-1 in the conference finals. And help me out here. It feels like Kevin won Draymond 2 rings because Kevin was back-to-back finals MVP, and I don't know that they would have won without him. So, okay, so he won 2 rings more than he probably deserved to.
And here's the thing, Skip. Draymond, KD leaving was the reason Draymond got the max deal. How the hell you gonna give Steph Curry a max contract, Klay a max contract, KD a max contract, and Draymond a max contract? How you gonna do that? You can't. So him leaving, help you get more money. Man.
I agree.
There's going to be a documentary.
No Warriors documentary just yet.
No mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. Well, the Patriots have agreed to trade Rob Gronkowski and a 7th-round draft pick to the Buccaneers for only a 4th-round pick in return. So, Shannon, did Bill Belichick get fleeced in this trade?
I don't believe so, Skip. I think, like I said, remember, Skip, he tried to trade him earlier. Now, he's trying to trade him. He traded him now after knowing that Gronk had been out a year and saying that the only way I'm playing with Tom Brady. You can't put him on the open market because he's already made that public. I'm not playing unless Brady's my quarterback. So what are you going to get for him? Skip, you remember there was a situation where Mike Shanahan, my former coach, tried to trade Jake Plummer to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and John Gruden. And Jake says, if you trade me, I'm going to retire. Well, Mike called his bluff and traded him. And Jake Plummer retired. So, Skill, I'm not going to give a trade for someone that's going to retire, give up a draft pick, and then I'm out of a draft pick. No. Coach Belichick didn't have a whole lot of leverage. He got what he could, but you plus remember, Skip, Coach Belichick did not anticipate Gronk giving him anything. He was retired. So if I don't anticipate anything, Skip, if I throw something out, listen, and I'm not calling Gronk trash, but I'm saying, if I set something side the curb, somebody says, like, you throwing this away? I'm like, yeah. How about I give you $50 for it? Okay. I'm in no position to argue, Skip, because I didn't want it anyway. I didn't anticipate having it. I'm letting it go. Skip, if you and I both know, had Gronk had that great season, let's just say he plays last year. Forget the season that he had. He plays last year. He has some tape. And let's just say Gronk is 70 and 8 touchdowns. It's hard for me to believe that Coach Belichick can't get at least, at bare minimum, third rounder without having to give up that seventh rounder. But because he took that year off, because his numbers were uncustomarily Gronk the year before, I think that had a lot to do with it. Plus, Skip, like I said, Coach Belichick only has $1.50 in cap space. What the hell are he going to do with $10 million? So I don't think he got fleeced. I think Coach Belichick's like, but what Coach Belichick is doing, Skip, you see this. He wants guys that want to be there. I think those other two guys, this is kind of worn on them, Skip. And when you're young, you can tolerate a lot of things, Skip. But as I got older, my nerves started to fray. And all that yelling and run stuff over again and repeat, it gets on your nerves, Skip. Now, Mike Shanahan, my former coach, and Brian Billick was nothing like Bill Belichick. I can imagine. But I remember, Skip Bayless, when Lane Johnson said, they're not having fun over there. They're just all, and Skip Bayless and everybody creamed it. And lo and behold, just not 2 years later, the whole thing went to shambles.
You have not heard me condemn Coach Belichick's culture just because Brady and Gronk finally burned out on it and said, that's enough. Obviously, Tom lasted 20 years, and I can't argue, obviously, with 9 Super Bowls and 6 rings. So it was working in large part because Tom Brady helped make it work because he was always the buffer, the mediator in the locker room, telling all the younger players, it's okay, just swallow it, bite your tongue, do your job like he asked you to do, and we're going to win rings. And because he set that tone and example, it continued to work. But again, to your point, Belichick did want to trade Gronk before his final season, which was 2 seasons ago. And he had a deal in place with Detroit for a first-round pick. Okay, fair is fair. First-rounder for Rob Gronkowski, greatest tight end ever. At that point, he was still 28 years of age. And yet Gronk said, no, I only want to play with Tom Brady. So to me, back to Jenny's question, the harder I look at this, the more it feels like Bill Belichick did get fleeced. And maybe he wanted to get fleeced. Maybe he wants to say to the world, hey, I don't need Tom Brady. I'll let him go for nothing. I don't even need Rob Gronkowski. I'll just basically give him away for a 4th and also give them a 7th. So it sort of, as we talked about, it actually mitigates to a 5th. So I basically, he's saying, I give him away and I'll show you. I'll take all these spare parts, these faceless, nameless cogs, and I'll rebuild on the fly here, and I'll win without them. And I think that's what he's trying to do because, Shannon, I get it that Rob Gronkowski was not going to play for Bill Belichick. That was a done deal. That was a given. But the other half of that equation was he only was going to play for one man, one team, and that was Tom Brady's Buccaneers. So Belichick had to know, well, wait a second, I do have leverage here because that's the only place he's going to go. And they desperately would love to have him. They don't need him. They still got 2 quality tight ends, but they don't have Rob Gronkowski. And obviously behind the scenes, Tom Brady was pushing like crazy. Psycho Tom was going psycho over, you got to get this done. Well, if you got to get it done, then either A, you give up O.J. Howard, tight end for tight end, and I would have been fine with that swap. As much as I believe in the future of O.J. Howard, I still think that would have been a fair deal for both sides, a good deal for both sides, and that didn't happen. So then as a fallback, you'd say to Tampa, well, give us a two. Give us a second rounder for Rob Gronkowski, because I still believe Tampa would have done that. Tampa has a second rounder in this upcoming Thursday night draft. Bill Belichick gave up his second rounder for Mohamed Sanu. Even you said bust, swing and miss by Bill Belichick. And seriously, Shannon, when I step back from this, I say, well, obviously Bill is an all-time great defensive football coach. There's no doubt about that. And you can certainly make the case, as you often do, that he's the greatest football coach ever. I still think it's Bill Walsh, but we could fight about that another day. But when we talk about team building, when we talk about Trader Bill, he's looking all time bad, because just in recent memory, he just gave away Jimmy G. I don't know what it was. Was it a spite move because he was forced to trade him by Robert Kraft? He calls up John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and says, hey, I got a deal for you. Would you give me a two for Jimmy Garoppolo? And they're like, seriously? They thought it was like an April Fool's joke. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll give you a two for Jimmy G. And they got their starting quarterback, and we're going to talk about them later, because they had a chance to get Tom Brady and decided to even stick with Jimmy G that they stole for a two. So was that a spite trade by Bill Belichick? I have no idea. But then we go to, remember, he then, I thought, pretty much gave away Jacoby Brissett, another quarterback he developed, who's been a starting quarterback and a decent starting quarterback in this league. He gave him away for Philip Dorsett, who's now gone to Seattle. I don't know. That wasn't it. You don't trade a potential starting quarterback for kind of a bust of a first-round pick wide receiver in Indy, who did some nice. He had his moments for Tom Brady, but not like what Jacoby Brissett has done. We talked about the Sanu deal. That was just a swing and a miss. And then, I don't know, Daron Harmon, he just traded away to Detroit for a fifth-round pick. And Daron was a starter for this team last year for New England. So, Shannon, I don't know. It looks like Trader Bill is he's looking worse and worse.
Well, Skip, I want to stick to this trade, but you have to understand that when Coach – but if I'm not mistaken, Skip – they were going to trade Gronk and either a second or a third for Detroit's first-round pick. And I think the thing is, but you also have to understand, Gronk was the first, was the all-pro tight end, and he was went to the Pro Bowl. So that's what you have. So that's what you're bargaining with right there. So look, and like you said, he was under the age of 30. So I can go to you like, look, this is the best tight end in football. He's under the age of 30. He just had an all-pro Pro Bowl type, Pro Bowl season. If you want him, this is what it's going to take. Now, take that away. The next year, Skip, he has his worst season since his rookie season, tied for a career low in touchdowns with 3. And the year after that, he sets out the entire season. Skip, a fourth-round pick is more than what the Patriots thought they would get from Rob Gronkowski this season, because they did not anticipate him playing at all. So at least Coach Belichick says, look, if he's not going to play for me, and he wants to play over there, I got no problem with that. That just goes to show you. Coach Belichick's out. Coach Belichick basically just said, I don't care. I would not be surprised if Julian Edelman might get traded there, or he might get released. But the thing is, Skip Bayless, if we mention Tua in all of his injury history, shouldn't we bring that up with Gronk, with his injury history on the other side of 30? Because he's going to be 31 next month, Skip. You keep talking about 30. He's 1 month away. Now, we know what he can be. But his injury history is extensive, and he's been injured more times than we care than we wish that he had been. So that's there also. Yep. So, for Skip, I think Coach Belichick got what he can get, given the circumstances, given that Gronk had let it be known publicly, I'm either playing with Brady or I'm not playing. So you don't have the leverage that you once have. And Skip, that's why teams won't play as to keep trade requests hush. Because once that becomes public, you lose a lot of the ability to get fair compensation. Not that you're going to get fair compensation, especially looking at basketball. because they trade players left and right. But you want to keep that demand down so, you know, it just comes out of the blue. It's like, oh, really? Okay, yeah, we'll give you that. Like Ngakoue in Jacksonville, Skip, he's letting it be known. Well, how is Jacksonville going to get fair compensation if he's doing, he's arguing with the owner's son on Twitter and letting it be known he wants out? How are they ever going to get fair compensation?
Okay, back to one quick point that you made. The proposed Detroit deal before, this is going back 2 years ago, before his final season in New England, Gronk, the proposed deal was New England was going to get a first-round pick. They were just going to trade places with Detroit in the second round. So that was the deal on the table that Gronk, Gronk successfully vetoed it because he said, I only want to play with Tom Brady. I don't want to go to Detroit. Now back to O.J. Howard. Again, I have read this. I have heard this. I don't know this for a dead solid fact, but I think Belichick has talked to Tampa about trading for O.J. Howard in the past. So there was already interest there that had never come to fruition. So I still don't quite understand how he couldn't have pushed for and finally won O.J. Howard. The only plausible theory here is because O.J. did wind up some in Bruce Arians' doghouse last year because he still was, you know, he hadn't quite grown up yet. Is it possible that Belichick called Nick Saban? And obviously they're very close. There was a documentary done on the two of them or sort of a sit down with the two of them. Did he call Saban and Saban warned him off O.J.? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure because I've heard and read this so many times. I'm pretty sure Belichick at least kicked the tires of trading for O.J. Howard before. So how Tampa wound up with Gronk and kept O.J. Howard is beyond, it's beyond belief to me because Tampa can use O.J. Howard, as we talked about earlier, to take some of the reps off Gronk and try to keep him fresher for a playoff run. So to me, man, Bill turns out looking so bad because he winds up, he gives away a seven, winds up with a four, and he still has $13 million in dead money on his cap from Tom Brady. So in New England, I'm sure, you know, Patriot Nation is sitting back saying, Coach, wait a second. You just let two goats go to Tampa, and all you have to show for it is a fourth that's actually more like a fifth, and wait a second. You still owe, you know, you had to eat $13 million of Brady's dead cap money? I mean, that's just horrible on top of horrible. And then, Shannon, obviously, I look down at what just happened in free agency, and New England did next to nothing in free agency, and there was pretty much this mass exodus. You can say they're all just cogs. They're all just no-name sort of pieces, but they lost Kyle Van Noy and Dorsett and Ted Karras, their starting center last year, and Danny Shelton and Alandon Roberts and Jamie Collins, and they cut Guskowski, and they traded, as I just mentioned, Daron Harmon, and all they added was, help me out if you know these people, Bo Allen, Demir Bird, I know I'm a little bit from Arizona, Adrian Phillips, a good special teams player, and they brought back Brian Hoyer for the third time. And they kept Devin McCourty, obviously, and they tagged Joe Tooney, and that's it. I just gave you their offseason. And it looks like they are going forward with Stid, as in Jared Stidham, the next Tom Brady? Seriously? So Shannon, are you sure about the Patriots having a better record next year than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Because that's our bet.
Well, Skip, it is what it is now, and I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Belichick traded Joe Tooney, because $14 million for a guard that didn't make the Pro Bowl and that's not an All-Pro, that's a lot of bread, Skip, for a guy. That's not Zach Martin. That's not the kid. That's not the kid up in Indy. Those are the two premier guards in all of football. So that's a lot of money for a guy that's a guy, and I don't get why he franchised him. I really don't. I guess they were afraid to lose him, and so they're like, look, come draft time, we're gonna move him. And I guess, Skip, because you know in free agency, Skip, people bid on things, and they were not going to be able to get into a bidding war with anybody because they were so cash-strapped, as you mentioned. And as you say, $13 million in cap space is being eaten up by a guy that's not even on your roster. and that's Tom Brady. So that's $13 million in cap space that you could have if you found a way to somehow do Brady's deal years ago, Skip. But all they did was kept kicking the can down the road. And it kept coming, and it was going to come to this, and they just had to make that balloon payment. But, Skip, when you look at it, I just think with Gronk's injury history, I think Gronk retired and coming off a season in which he was not the Gronk that we're used to, I think that aided in the fact. And Coach Belichick just simply looked at it. I'm not going to get anything out of Gronk. At least I can get a draft pick. That draft pick might turn out to be a special teams player or contribute on offense or defense. And so what do I do? Hold on to a guy out of spite that's not going to play for me and not get the compensation, or let him go and get some compensation? And I think that's what he did, Skip.
Yep.
Back to the O.J. Howard, Skip. You know Coach Saban loved guys from Alabama because they're coached by Coach Saban. Coach Saban was his defensive coordinator in Cleveland, and they talk extensively. So I'm surprised that they haven't pulled the trigger. So maybe, but that, Skip, when I look at it, I don't think Coach Saban, because we've seen him come to bat for Tua. We've seen him go to bat for other players that come out of Alabama. So, Skip, I don't think he would say anything negative about O.J. Howard. But like I said, you never know. But $2 million is not a lot of money. But when you only got $1.50 in cap space, $2 million seems like $20 million.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an out right here, right now, on live national television.
What?
We made a bet that I said Tampa would have a better record next year than New England, and you took it for 5 cases of Diet Mountain Dew.
I did.
Nectar of the Gods, Breakfast of Champions. And right now, I will let you out of the bet for just 1 case. If you just give me 1 case right now, just because I feel sorry for you and I'm so happy for Tampa today, I'll let you out of the bet for 5 cases. Would you like out of the bet right now?
Can I think about it? Can I sleep on it?
Yep, you can sleep on it.
Okay.
Or drink on it.
All right, you ponder on that. Yeah, drink on it, think on it, Shannon. You got a little bit of time. No mercy.